Welcome to your home for all the nerd news you need to know. Welcome to AU Radio. Joining me today from the Caterpillar Cafe Comics Corner, it's George. Hi, George.
Well, hello, everyone.
Filling in at the Adventures Underground news desk, it's Beth. Hi, Beth. Hey. Here in spirit, but not in person, is Sam. And I am not your plucky sidekick, Donnie, but I play him on bad midday soap operas. I'm Hannah, and this is our third installment of Board Game Boulevard.
Yay.
Yeah.
Joining us to talk about all the best games to enjoy during this quarantine and how you can play them, it's Brendan and Sarah. Hi, guys.
Hello.
We're glad to have you.
Hi.
We are happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
So, yeah, board games. I'm excited to hear about playing board games over distance because, to me, board games are something you just gather around in a small huddle and play.
Board games, it's been really interesting to try and get together and play. And I mean, Sarah and I haven't left the house in about 10 weeks, aside from just like going to the grocery store. So there's been no in-person gaming of any kind. So yeah, it's been great to find some alternatives. And yeah, thankfully they're out there. And we've been playing a lot of Jackbox games, actually.
Which is kind of video games, but it's also kind of board games. Sort of.
Really heard of Jackbox games.
Yeah, Jackbox games, we play them through Steam. I'm sure you can get them through other consoles. But the gist of it is that there is kind of like it could be trivia, it could be a word game. There's some game that's playing via computer that everybody plays from their phones to type in answers and to vote on things. And yeah, it's been great. We've been going crazy with like Quiplash, which is it gives you a prompt and then you say something ridiculous, or Murder Mystery Trivia Party, which is, you know, trivia.
That's what it sounds like. It's a trivia. And yeah.
Oh, cool.
And there's like a Balderdash like one. I don't remember what it's called.
Fibbage.
Yeah. So there's games that are basically board games, just in a different format a little bit, that are pretty easy to play remotely.
That's so cool. I'm actually looking them up on my phone right now and they look really fun.
Yeah.
I was introduced to Jackbox games from my brother-in-law and sister. And we have, ever since they discovered it, I think we've probably played those games like every time we gather and there's a TV, then everybody has their phones with them and stuff.
Yeah.
Every time we gather nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How, for the people that are listening, how do you go about like finding that and coordinating that?
So the easiest way is just hop onto Steam or any digital distribution of Jackbox games. Only one person needs to have it. If you play through Steam, there's this option called Remote Play Together, where you can share your screen with other people who also have Steam accounts, which are free.
But I mean, you could also share your screen through like Twitch or something like that. Yeah, as long as everybody has a phone and you have the room code, like, which is easy to, it's four letters. Like, if you can be like, hey, here's the room code, everybody, we can all kind of play together. So, yeah.
Nice.
We should totally do that. We should do like an Adventures Underground like game.
That would be so much fun.
Yeah.
How many people can you have on there at a time?
It depends on the game. I think the one that has the most players is like 12 players. Mm-hmm. That brackets one, but most of them are like
between 3 and 8.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
So, and I think there's even a function where if you happen to be at the capacity and you had more people, they can still spectate with that same.
Yes. Right? Yes. Yeah. You can join as an audience member. And sometimes the audience members get to like put wagers on stuff, which is kind of fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sounds super fun.
Yeah.
That's great. And then, not to lead or jump the gun, Hannah, if you were wanting to do this thing, but you mentioned another online medium that you had been using recently too, right?
Yeah, Tabletopia. We used. Brendan, you can talk about it because like sure. Brendan bought like the gold package or whatever, so he has access to all of the games. But then like you can play with anyone that has a free account. And as long as Brendan's the one doing the inviting, they can play all of the games. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So Tabletopia, it's a website and you can play board games through your browser. And it's, if you've played Tabletop Simulator, it's a lot like that, where all of the pieces are there and there's kind of a physics engine behind it where you can like, you know, drag things around and drop things and roll dice. But it doesn't have any of the rules built in, and you never play against an AI. So,
right. It's not like the board game apps where like it actually does all the point tallying and all the stuff for you. Like you have to like physically put a card into a pile, the discard pile. Like you have to do it all yourself.
Right.
Okay. That's really kind of neat for somebody that's been missing out on, you know, those tactile kind of feeling, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's fun. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the advantage is that because you're not really restricted, it's like you're playing with a table. You know, there you can move the pieces around. You can move, you know, lots of things around. And it's just, it's about as close to a real gaming experience as you can get. All of the games are licensed by the companies that create them. So all of the components look exactly like they would, you know, as if you were playing them in front of your, you know, just right there on your table.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can, it has some cool stuff where you can save certain views. So like you can save a view of like the whole board from the top down. You can save a view of like just your little player mat, and you can switch between them very easily. Like it has some cool little features like that.
Yeah, like it solves that problem of you want to be able to see what your opponent's tableaus look like. But you know, they're across the table. It doesn't exist anymore. So it's kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah, you can pretty easily move around and stuff.
That's so neat. Like I love that idea because I don't know, like playing virtual games to me has always been kind of, if I wanted to play a video game, I'd just go play a video game.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
And part of the fun of playing a board game is that, you know, there's pieces and there's things to move and there's stuff that you have to do to play it right. And I think that is so cool that they found a way to bring that into a digital format.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's fun.
It really helps.
Yeah, we played Wingspan today and it worked really well.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
We still have it?
We can play it.
Yeah, we can play it on Tabletopia.
Hey, so for the other plebeians out there like myself that don't actually have a desktop computer, can you do that on your phone, or does it have to be on a PC?
You can do it on your phone if you go with one of the paid account models. I think the gold and the silver both allow you to play with mobile.
Oh, I didn't know that. Cool.
Yeah.
How easy is it to interface with it? Have you tried?
No, I have not done it on mobile at all. Only because there's so many like key commands. But I'm sure you can drag things around and do the vast majority of things. I'm sure there are some games that might be a little bit too complicated to play on mobile just because there's so many little fiddly bits.
Sure.
There are almost 1,000 games on Tabletopia, so there's going to be something to play.
Right on. Can you do it on like a console or anything like that? Is there an app for it that's like an Xbox or PlayStation or anything like that?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but I'm on a computer right now. I can look.
Steam App Store, Google Play. Yeah. So no consoles, just Steam App Store and Google Play.
Okay. But yeah, it does have like iPad, I guess, has a lot of functionality. So yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, it's super affordable. And if you aren't playing mobile, if you're just playing PC, only one person needs to have the kind of like all access thing, and then they just invite you into the game. So it's really super affordable. It's not like everybody has to, you know, pay $20 a month or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So if you had like a set gaming group of friends that always want to play, like you could all just pitch in like $5 and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You totally could. And, you know, I did want to mention that TAG, Tri-State Area Gaming, is going to be doing, they're doing it tonight for the first time, sort of hosting, I don't know, hosting in air quotes, like an online gaming event. Ooh, cool. Yeah, we're inviting people to our Discord channel and so that they can talk or, you know, get hooked up that way. And then, you know, saying, hey, here's all the different ways that you can play games. We're going to see how it goes tonight. And if it goes well, we'll probably do it every Thursday until things, you know, get back to normal. Yeah, whatever normal is.
Shoot us a link at AU so we can. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I'll throw that up on our social media for sure.
Here, I'll put it in the Discord right now so you can.
Perfect.
Ha! The powers of technology.
Oh. I love technology.
I put it in the wrong one. Oh boy.
Yeah, but no, I mean, we miss people. There's definitely something that we miss, not having actual people around a table. But
yeah,
this has been enough to tide us over, I think.
And it's, I mean, I will say, like, without Discord or, you know, I don't know, Google or some kind of way to have voice chat, I think it would be really difficult. So, like, I do think that component's important if you're going to try playing board games. I mean, there's a chat, but I don't know.
No, I've been going through the same kind of thing because before all of this, I was playing like 2 to 3 sessions of like D&D a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh.
And all of my games have stopped.
Are you jonesing hard?
Oh my gosh, I want to play so bad, but like most of the people that I play with don't really want to play online.
Yeah.
You know, they're all like, no, we want to play like together at a table and all that stuff. And there is something to be said about like, I like playing in person better than I do playing online, but oh, sure, man, I miss it. Like,
yeah.
You got to kind of take what you can get at this point.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm sorry, George. What'd you say?
I was going to say, I can't wait to have Hannah and Sam back over to game at my table that I have at my house. We had a nice little group going, and then, you know, everything fell apart. It was
Sad.
No, I miss all the kooky characters and like just hanging out with your friends and enjoying stuff.
Yeah.
We just
Sorry. I was just telling Hannah I'm behind on the podcast because it's usually this is the podcast we listen to together. So we listen to it when we're in the car together, which we haven't been. But so I know you guys had an episode about doing like online role-playing games. And I know Brendan's played with Roll20 a little bit, but yeah, we're not doing. Oh, actually, he did Apocalypse World the other day. Mm-hmm. Dungeon World the other day. Yeah.
Yeah, there are definitely games that are kind of more suited to not needing to see rolls, not needing to have a map in front of you, not needing to have a lot of the kind of the physical things that some other role-playing games have.
So, we did a playthrough of a game called Everyone is John last month. It was supposed to be a Patreon bonus content, but we haven't been able to figure out how to upload it on Patreon. It keeps failing, so we're still not sure what we're doing wrong.
It might be Patreon.
It might be Patreon, but that one's literally you just need like a D6
cool.
to play. And you just roll to see whether or not you're successful in your actions. And then that's it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And you know, Apocalypse World, you need 2d6. It's basically the same thing. So it's like, yeah, everybody's got those in a board game somewhere.
Yeah. It's raiding the, what is it, Monopoly somewhere?
Oh, God. Yeah. The old copy of Monopoly that you never, never use.
You never use it, but you always jack the dice out of.
Yeah.
And I mean, absolutely worst case, there's plenty of virtual dice rollers out there.
Right.
Oh, we made one. Pixel dice.
We were bored one afternoon, we just made a dice roller on itch.
Nice. There you go.
Well, because we were needing it for something where we needed like different sets of different colors of dice for some reason. I don't remember what game that was for. But anyways, and so we were just like, let's just make it. Anyway.
I mean, they say necessity is the mother of invention. But I think it's boredom.
Yeah, that's very fair.
If you have like both, that's I mean.
Super proper, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's how calculus was invented, right? Like,
yes.
So much boredom.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, there are good options. There are certainly ways to play stuff. And it's, I don't know, it's what's nice about a board game above a video game, even if you're just playing it digitally, is that there's a slowness to it that I think you miss out on. You know, it's kind of weird. You know, video games are, especially even just digital versions of traditional board games, where there's a computer that's kind of handling all the bookkeeping behind the scenes. You know, having to still do that yourself, I think there's a quality to it that even though
that's true, because like you're timed on everything, and if the computer's doing it, it's like you have a certain amount of time you have to do it in, and like. with a board game, it's like you take your turn. It's your turn. you take your turn. Yeah.
Okay. But I gotta say, like, Max takes forever. Any strategy game that we play, and the closer I get to winning, the longer his turn takes.
Yeah. What is that called, Bryn?
Analysis paralysis.
Yeah, analysis paralysis. There we go. Yeah, there's certain people in the gaming community that I won't play certain games with because I know I'll just want to wring their neck. I'm just like, oh my god, it's been 10 minutes.
Run out.
Yeah.
Oh man, that just harkens back like memories of everybody have your action ready on your turn, or you're getting skipped.
Ooh, who said that? I like that.
it was one of my favorite DMs that I've gotten the chance to play with. He was very much like, hey, know what your character is going to do on your turn or you miss your turn.
Nice.
There was one role-playing game system, I think it was Burning Wheel, where everybody had to write down what they were going to do on a piece of paper, and then they just flipped them, and then whoever was running the game resolved them in an order that made sense. But there was no reacting to other players. It was pure chaos every round, because that was kind of the game assumed that, you know, when you're in combat, you don't have time between every single attack to actually plan out what that attack's going to be and take advantage of certain situations. You're just gonna have to like roll with it. Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Really cool, but also like that would stress me out.
It like sounds really chaotic cool. For sure.
Yeah,
that's the yeah. system that they used for the Mouse Guard RPG, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Wait, is it? Yep. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
It sounds chaotic but fun for sure.
Yeah, and I think Burning Wheel, they also had a social combat that worked very similarly, where you were throwing like insults and jibes and nice. Yeah, defenses. Yeah, it was neat.
Oh, it's great when games lean on the RP element a little more.
Yeah, not just combat.
Yeah.
Yes, dude. Seriously, I'm 100% with you on that.
Yeah. Well, especially because, like, you know, I keep coming back to this, like, in my circles when I have this conversation, is that if you want to play a game around a table where it's all about strategic tactical combat, Gloomhaven does an amazing job, and nobody has to run it. So like if you want that vibe, grab Gloomhaven and grab the digital version that's in early access right now, because it's supposed to be amazing too. So if you're missing that kind of like,
I'd love to play that game digitally with other people. That would be such a fun experience. Like
it
felt so well to the digital medium.
Does
that one let you play remotely via Steam or whatever?
I'm almost certain that everybody has to have their own copy, but you can play multiplayer.
Okay.
Yeah. But even with four people,
that's literally hundreds of hours of game.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's plenty. We played it for like 2 years or something.
Yeah,
I shudder to ask, how much does that cost digitally? And I don't mean to be like an ad for it or anything. I'm just curious.
No, I think it's like $20-$25. It's
really?
Not. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not. In fact, I mean, I can pull up Steam, but I'm pretty sure it's not. It's not crazy.
I'm doing that right now.
I'm looking at a copy of that, because like I want to play Gloomhaven. It looks like such a fun game.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's $25.
Yeah.
On Steam.
But the space issue is my thing.
Yeah.
You need like a whole table, like a whole dining room table.
Yeah. Well, and the storage of it too.
Yeah.
So many little. Like, I mean, you can't really use the box that it comes in to store everything if you want to keep things organized. So you have like 20 Plano boxes filled with different tokens and random,
I was able to keep it to two, fish tackle bait boxes. Nice. That's what mine is. It's the box and then two tackle boxes.
Yeah.
Well, that came out with a storage box. Like, it's not technically quote Gloomhaven unquote, because it's not made by the Gloomhaven people.
Right.
But it's for Gloomhaven.
Mm-hmm. There's a few companies that we've actually had those come through the store to sell. And I think Drew picked one up, but we haven't actually put it together yet.
Is it Broken Token or?
Yeah, probably.
I know Broken Token has done one, but it was a different company that we got at the store.
Okay, cool.
If you like model building and putting puzzles together, those boxes are pretty remarkable.
They are indeed.
Yeah. But no, we were fortunate enough that our group, we had finished the main campaign and we played the last adventure on the expansion just before quarantine locked everybody down.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
But no, yeah, lots and lots of game there.
We fought the boss a little earlier than I think we would have otherwise, but it was still a good enough time to do it.
That's awesome. I love that game so much.
Because Gloomhaven's still in early access, I think they're still working out all of the characters, but it's there and it's playable. And I mean, if you didn't want to spend $200, spend $25, and you know, you don't have to ever clean it up.
as long as I can play the brute, I'll be happy.
Yeah. As long as you can play what?
The brute.
Oh, the brute. Nice. I like the berserker. She's my favorite.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, she's rad. I know. Sorry, we're probably being boring talking about a game. I don't know.
No way. Okay. That's okay. Literally what this episode is about.
But yeah, George, I think you were talking like last week or the week before about Frosthaven.
Yeah,
and how ridiculously successful it was. Yeah. And from what I've seen, there's a standalone Gloomhaven expansion that I think is coming out summer.
Standalone?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah.
Other than Forgotten Circles?
Yes. Really? Yeah, it is entirely. So you can play it in combination with the main game.
Yep. I have heard of. It's like an introductory box for anybody that hasn't maybe played Gloomhaven before or just jumping up a bit for more Gloomhaven.
Yeah, Jaws of the Lion.
Is it also for like people that aren't sure they want to take the plunge into the $200?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Cool. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
It's honestly a great idea.
So smart.
Because that box is really intimidating.
It is.
It's huge.
And having somebody be like, here's a smaller version. Try this first.
Yeah.
When I picked it up at Christmas for Max, I was blown away at how heavy that thing was.
Yeah. Yeah.
20 pounds. It's a 20-pound box.
Yeah. The only thing that's disappointed me in it at all was like the code stuff. That's all I'm gonna say, just because I don't want any spoilers. But I love code breaking and shit like that, so I really wanted it to, sorry Brendan, can you mark
that down? I gotcha.
Okay. So I wanted it to be like, anyway, that's it. That's, I don't want to say anymore because I don't want to spoil or anything.
So I think the other thing that's super super fun about the Jaws of the Lion, is that what you said it was called?
Yeah.
So that one, it minimizes all of the complication of Gloomhaven, I think, to the point that even the maps, like putting together the board for the maps every time you start a new scenario is a little bit of a chore because you have to find each and every exact side of which panel you need. In Jaws of the Lion, I think that the maps are in the rule book.
Yeah.
They do something. The rule book itself.
Yeah. If you ever played Near and Far, Near and Far had it like an atlas book and you played on that. Yeah.
So it's a really neat idea to simplify just so many aspects of the game while still expanding and adding another couple of characters, I think.
Yeah. That is
as like an expansion or the first time you ever play. Like, I can't wait to play that.
I want to see the new characters for sure. So George, you have played the expansion with the clairvoyant?
I have the expansion, but I've gotten like halfway through maybe three different games of Gloomhaven and never actually finished one.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. You definitely don't have to finish the regular one before you do the expansion.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
So actually that's not true. One of the games that I'm in is very close to finishing, but you know, like last 2.5-3 months or whatever, you know, who's going to be able to have time to do that right now?
Totally. Yeah.
Well, it's together. Not that we don't have time. We all have plenty of time.
Just not the means or opportunities. Yeah.
These separate households makes it a little difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of things I wanted to make sure to mention was that there are a handful of games that you can play probably with stuff that you already have at home that are very tactile and very interpersonal, but aren't digital aside from using something like Zoom or Google Meet to actually coordinate. And the first one is, it's a game called Just One. It's a party game. And if you, the premise of the game is that one person holds up a card that has a word on it and they can't see that word. Everybody else around the table has to write a single word clue that will hopefully get that person to guess what that word is. And any if any of those words are the same, they get removed from the pool. And then the person looks at what's left and guesses. You can totally do this in Zoom. It's really very easy. There are word generators all over the place, but that's totally something you can do if you're just looking for something to play right now without any kind of cost investment.
Yeah, and you could use something other than Zoom too.
Yeah. Has anybody ever played A Fake Artist Goes to New York?
No.
So it's pretty
fun. You know what? Just really quick, I'm going to do a plug for Polygon, the channel on YouTube. If you want to see people play party games and be like, hey, that's a game we could play. Like, that's a good channel for you to watch. They play Jackbox games sometimes too. Anyway, sorry. Continue.
That's okay. So the way Fake Artist works is that you need some kind of like shared whiteboard application where everybody can have a different color. And the way it works is that one person comes up with something to draw or something relatable, like the name of a movie or something like that. They pass it to everybody else, except for one person gets an X, and that person has no idea what everybody else is drawing. And you go around in a circle and you start adding to this collaborative piece, and everybody knows what it is except for the one person, but that one person has to hide the fact that they have no idea what they're drawing by being clued in by what's already there.
But the people that do know what they're drawing can't be super obvious about it, because if at the end of, I don't know, is it two rounds each?
It's two everybody rounds. Draws yeah.
So at the end of two rounds, everybody gets a chance to point at, like, it's like hands in the air, 1, 2, 3, point at the person you think is the fake artist. If the person that's the fake artist gets the most votes, it's like, oh, good, we won. But that person then gets a chance to guess what the drawing is supposed to be. And if they guess it, they f-ing win. Sorry, Brendan.
That sounds like Spyfall a little bit.
It's very similar.
It's definitely got the whole like detractor, like co-op game with detractor thing going on. Yeah.
There was a game that reminds me a lot of, and I cannot remember the name of it, but we got it. Man. End of last year, like right around Christmas time, and it's actually like not a children's game but a younger geared game where you're playing, you get a deck of cards and all the cards have this beautiful artwork on them. I mean, it's just gorgeous watercolor prints and stuff, and everybody except one person gets
the location. Is it the one where they I'll get the location.
It's not the location. They get a word like red or something like that. And everybody plays cards that relate to that word, except the one person. I forget exactly how the mechanic worked because it was explained to me and I got to sit down and play around, but it was like a round with like two people. And so the person that I was playing with was like, and we'd have another person and this is how the cards work.
Right. But it sounds similar.
And so you don't know what you're playing. You have to take your cues based on the other people. And it's the same premise where at the end, they're like, you are the one that doesn't know what the word is.
Yeah. What is the game, Brendan, we were playing at ConfuseCon last year with the different, everybody knew where they were location wise, except for the spy.
That's Spyfall. Yeah, that's what Georgia
is. Oh, that is Spyfall. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking, never mind. I think I was thinking of the one we played with your... Never mind, it doesn't matter. The one we played with your brother. The other detractor one. It's the same. It's the same game. It's all the same game.
Yeah.
So once we can get back to family gatherings and things like that, another game that is in the same vein is The Resistance, or Avalon, if you want to go the medieval fantasy version of it. I can't express how... my family, I wouldn't call them conservative, but they're definitely not I don't know. I just in case any of them are listening here, I'm not trying to be offensive at all. Like, I love my family to death, but they don't normally get down on like really like contentious types of things.
Right. But
by the time we're done playing a few rounds of the Resistance, everybody's at each other's throats, and it's one of those things. Whenever you get back to it, it's like a $20 game, and if you can play it with a group of people that you know and love, it's a wonderful experience, as long as everybody doesn't actually like go to each other's throats.
Right. Yeah. I like it when you can kind of get like that fun competitiveness where nobody's right. actually upset, but you know, you can kind of play upset. I don't know. That can be fun.
Yeah.
It's fun as long as it doesn't get too serious. That's always my hesitation with board games, especially Max likes the more complicated, rules heavy kind of games. And then you get into the lawyering and I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, it takes all the fun away.
It's funny, but those kinds of games usually reveal the people that you would least expect to be the most devious, and it's always a blast to see those people. Some crazy bluff.
Yeah, Brendan's brother has never looked at me the same since we played Resistance, like ever. He just does not trust me now.
I get that. I doubt she'll ever listen to this podcast, but in case she does, my cousin Julia is like the most sharkiest. Like she does it without even trying. She just keeps her straight face the whole time, and she'll be the betrayer when you leave the record to you, and she will just be so happy about it. It was great.
That's awesome. Yeah, I enjoy games like that. Brendan typically does not.
I don't. I can't do social deduction. I'm terrible.
But yeah, I enjoy them.
Yeah.
They're really fun. I have a problem of trying to be too competitive, and so like I have to remind myself constantly that like it's just a game and it's okay if you lose. Don't get mad at your friends.
Yeah.
I think that's one reason why the game Coup has been such a hit at our employee parties when we were able to have board game nights and things, because that game is basically like the quick draw version of Resistance, and everybody loves that game. You get like 4 or 5 rounds in and everybody's just having a blast.
Justin is like really brutal in that game.
Yes, he is.
He'd been there for like 5 days when we played, yeah. That was actually the first employee game night that I'd ever gotten to go to, and that was a blast. Absolute blast.
I don't know about you, Brendan and Sarah, but I don't know, like Coup is one of the best like pickup games that you can get for money. I don't know if that's on Tabletop Simulator, but it would be hard to do something like that digitally.
Oh, not in person. Yeah. I don't know how you do the acting part of that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think Coup's one of those ones that probably would work very well.
One day, we will have to get back together again and all play that game together when it's possible.
Yeah.
I think after the quarantine's over, like, we should have another Board Game Boulevard episode, but, like, we should all just get together, play a couple of games, and then we can do an episode talking about the games we played.
Yeah, that sounds great. Sounds really good.
Blast. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm still sure if we're running Dungeon World or Ten Candles or any of the kind of one-shot games.
Ooh, Ten Candles would be so much fun. I love that game. Yeah,
it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Or Dude Icarus. I mean, like, of course, like, we couldn't all have the dice stacked in the middle of the table, I guess. That wouldn't really work. Yeah. I don't know.
I would love to get to play Everyone is John with you guys, because awesome. That game was cool. So much fun. Basically, have you guys heard about it before?
Just from you?
Yeah, just what you mentioned earlier. But yeah, go ahead.
So basically, you're all playing as different personalities of this guy named John.
Oh, it's Malkovich.
Basically. Cool. And okay. So you... you're all trying to have control over John, and each of you have different goals that you're trying to accomplish while you're in control of him. And awesome. So literally you get to roll a D6, and if you get a 6, you succeed in what you're trying to do. But if you roll anything lower than that, you fail, and somebody else gets to take over John, and you have a certain point, like a pool of points that you get to bid, try and take control of John, and once you run out, you can't control him anymore.
So he's being pulled on all these different directions.
Yes, and it just goes off the rails so fast.
Yeah, that sounds rad. Yeah, let's set it up. Let's play it. That sounds fun.
I actually sat in on the end of that session, and it was one of the most fun, like, remote gaming things that I've even had contact with during this whole quarantine.
Dude, yeah, that's awesome. And we can play it. I mean, what talkie.io does up to 6 people video chat for free, like, that's with no time limit. Or, you know.
Or wouldn't Google Zoom do that too?
Zoom does, I think it's like 45 minutes for free with a certain number. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what all their price points are.
Okay, fair enough. Again, we're not trying to be an ad for all these things. It's just, we're
trying to help you. No, I mean, it's a good question. We're not trying
to be an ad, but we are trying to give people the resources to
exactly
play games, right. Be connected.
Yeah.
So, Talkie, like just like it sounds, like talky.io. It's just a website, like it's just a web-based one, so nobody has to download anything. Google Meet, I don't know, like a lot of people have Google, but that's a thing. Yeah. What else?
Discord works Skype if you're only Zoom. Doing voice.
Mm-hmm. Discord has video now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it does. Hey, I can see the little thing that says video on mine.
Yeah. I was just like, we're not doing video, are we? Okay, no. Good. Oh, no. I got my quarantine hair. It's no good.
I can show you my dog, you know, if you want
to. I'm just sitting here, like, relentlessly touching my face since I'm not allowed to all day, you know.
Mm-hmm. Get all your face touching in right now.
Basically.
Cool. All right.
So, yeah. Do you guys have any other games that you, like, super recommend for the distance gaming?
I mean, I would say anybody that's stuck at home, listen to past episodes of Board Game Boulevard, because we did a lot on like two-player games and stuff like that before, but as far as distance games, these party games sound like they would work pretty well. I don't know, Brian, do you have any others?
Not offhand, but what I will say is that when the tag Discord channel gets posted, if anybody if anybody hops on to Tabletopia and sees a games that they're interested in learning, there's a pretty good chance that somebody will be able to teach you how to play it at a distance and actually play the game right then and there. So yeah, if you see something that appeals to you and, you know, you just want to have somebody to kind of show you the ropes. Yeah.
That's
an asset for that.
That's actually a really good point. Cause like, yeah, there are a ton of people on Tag that actually really enjoy explaining games. And if you see one that you're just like, I've been meaning to play that, but I don't know how, and I don't really want to read a rule book. Like, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Cause now everybody, we really miss the gaming events we used to do. Cause the vast majority of stuff, we'd have 3 or 4 a week where we would just show up with a stack of games and people would say, I'm interested in learning that. And we would teach it. And that's gone for right now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we would love to get that back. So if anybody is interested in learning, please, you know, reach out and let us know, because we'd be happy to teach.
Yeah.
That's just Tri-Cities Area Gaming, and we'll definitely post the Facebook event on our podcast and on the store page.
Awesome. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah. And yeah, the event should be, if it goes well tonight, it should be recurring, but our Discord channel is open to everybody. So that's open.
I'll post the Discord link. I know that they tend to expire after a certain amount of time. So
I think this is the forever one, isn't it, Brendan?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We set up a forever one.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all up there. It's on all the social medias. The link is on Facebook specific Discord channel. Yeah.
See, Beth is just so on top of everything.
It's because I can't do just one thing at a time is actually what it is. I have to do like six. That's all.
Brendan and Sarah, real quick, I wanted to throw this out there. While we are all, you know, having to be apart from each other and all that, I just wanted to give you guys a shout out because before all of this crazy crap went down, you guys have been such a fountain of positivity for our community. And I just wanted to thank you guys for that.
You're more than welcome, George. Thank you so much.
That's really nice of you.
Yeah. And it has been absolutely wonderful being able to still hear all of you every week since all of this happened. So like, thank you in the same vein for being there and being, you know, kind of a consistent, entertaining, and just kind of like a familiar thing that we can kind of have as a touchstone.
We can count on.
We appreciate that a lot.
So it's funny, we have to pivot our original pitch in that, you know, it's certainly a room full of people talking about stuff to certainly many separate rooms of people talking about stuff together.
It is a Discord room of people.
Right.
But we appreciate all you listeners and you and Brendan and Sarah and Beth and Absent Sam and Hannah and everybody. We appreciate everybody in the world.
Well, we love you guys.
Yeah.
Poor absolutely. Donnie, you know, 2 weeks ago, a sea absolutely. Witch stole Donnie's voice, and this week the Tooth Fairy mugged him. So, I mean,
Donnie.
We miss our plucky sidekick.
I do.
We do this every week.
All right. Well, thanks for having us on.
We appreciate you guys coming on. Before we all head out, just wanted to give a little plug to, you know, Adventures Underground, because they are the reason we are able to do what we do.
Indeed.
I am on the same vein with Donnie. I don't want to turn this into an ad for AU, but you guys are interested in like board games and stuff like that, we have a lot of them for sale on our website, advunderground.com. You can order directly from the store. We ship, or you can do curbside pickup if you're local in Richland, Kennewick, Tri-Cities area.
Including the ones we talked about today, like Just One in Gloomhaven.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if we actually have any copies of Gloomhaven left.
Oh, sorry.
Good for you guys. No, good for getting rid of them. That's awesome.
We try and get them in whenever we can, and then they sell very fast because it is a cool game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, anything that you need for your boredom during this quarantine, we have comics and books and board games and just so much
and music.
We've got quarantine survival kits that we build to suit. So, I mean,
that's so awesome. That's really awesome.
And honestly, if you people out there are listening and want to do that, more information about what your personal interests and things like that are like, it the better. Like we can tailor stuff very specifically if you give us more information. But you know, otherwise, if you just want some random crap, you just tell us you want some sci-fi stuff.
And
we'll get you
and Beth, you have kid stuff too, don't you?
The what? Sorry.
Beth has kid stuff too, right? Like a lot of stuff for.
We have a ton of kids stuff, books, activities. We do a boredom buster quarantine kit that's really customized. If when you order, usually we just try to get like the age of your kids and what they're into. And we really build it towards that so that you're not just getting a box of stuff that's only going to be like two things hit the mark. We want to help keep them busy, keep them learning, keep them active and doing stuff without it, you know, being super overwhelming for you to go through and pick stuff out. We can do that for you.
That's awesome.
So you are already basically doing the personal shopper thing, but that's so cool.
Outstanding. Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
Well, all right. Well, thank you, Brendan and Sarah, so much for coming on and talking about board games with us.
Thank you all for having us.
Yeah, thank
love
you.
Having you guys here. And thank you, George.
No problem. Happy to be here.
Thank you, Beth.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Sam, even though you're only here in spirit.
I just got back a couple minutes ago.
Hey! Well, thanks for being here for the last 30 seconds of the show.
It's not easy, but someone's going to do it.
Is this still recording?
Yeah.
Yay!
Thank you so much to all of our listeners and our Patreon subscribers. Supporters, we could not keep doing this without you guys here. We appreciate you so much, and we hope that you're all staying safe. And with that, We are out of here.
Nothing can kill the Grimace.
Nothing can kill the Grimace.
Nothing can kill the Grimace. Nothing can kill the Grimace.
You've been listening to AU Radio. Music is provided by CubbyAndBenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio Podcast is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.